Welcome to Abergavenny Baptist Church, growing in faith and friendship.
The Bible reading is from Galatians chapter 2. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem. This time I went with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preached among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running or had been running my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. As for those who are held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. Well, we're continuing our series through the book of Galatians entitled Freedom in Jesus. And today we're looking at Galatians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 10. And this is a very, very important, a very crucial passage. But it's not a very popular passage. You know how some people have their favorite memory verses, their favorite verses, and they'll put them on a card or on a poster or up on their fridge? You know how people do that? Well, I've never seen anyone put up this verse, yet not even Titus was compelled to be circumcised. But this was a very crucial verse. This is a very crucial, very important verse, because the whole issue of circumcision was a very big issue. I mean, it's not a big issue for us today, but it was a big issue back then because it threatened the truth of the gospel. What's the gospel? Well, the gospel is a good news about Jesus. That's what the gospel is. It's a good news about Jesus. And so we read in verses 3 and 2-5, yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. Okay, what's going on there? I mean, who are these false brothers? And why are they spying on Paul? And what has this got to do with Titus being circumcised? And what's this got to do with the truth of the gospel? Okay, so we need to understand something of the backstory over here. Up until this point, all the followers of Jesus were Jews. Jesus was a Jew. The 12 disciples were Jews. Paul himself was a Jew. All the followers of Jesus were Jewish. But slowly, as the church began to grow beyond the confines of Jerusalem and Judea, and slowly started moving further afield, slowly more and more non-Jews started coming to faith in Jesus. This was particularly the case at Antioch. That's Paul's home church in Antioch, which is in Syria. Particularly the case there. In Antioch, there were many, many non-Jews, known as Greeks or Gentiles, who had come to faith in Jesus. You can read all about this in Acts chapter 11 and verses 19 to 30. And everyone was so excited to see all these non-Jews come in to faith in Jesus. However, there were some, like these false brothers, who were insisting that in order for these non-Jews to truly be part of God's family, to be truly part of God's people, they first had to become Jewish. And the way you became Jewish was by obeying the law of Moses, particularly what is known as the works of the law, the particular parts of the law that functioned like boundary markers. They were the things that would show everyone else that you are Jewish. And so prime ones would be, number one, the food laws. You had to eat kosher food. So no more pork chops and bacon. Secondly, you had to follow the sacred calendar. You had to follow all the Jewish religious festivals. And the most important one, of course, was keeping Sabbath. And then thirdly, and this was the most important, circumcision. Every male had to be circumcised. Ouch. And it was doing all of these things that would show everyone that you were Jewish. Now for Paul, this threatened the truth of the gospel, because what they were effectively were saying was faith in Jesus is not enough. Faith in Jesus is not enough. You need to add circumcision. You need to add the works of the law. You need to add becoming Jewish. So their equation was Jesus plus the works of the law, circumcision and everything else, equals favor with God. So they believed you needed to put your faith in Jesus, but they were saying if you want to be truly saved, really saved, if you want to be a proper Christian, if you want to be really accepted by God, then you need to obey all the works of the law. Otherwise, at best, you're just a second-class Christian. And for Paul, this was going against the truth of the gospel. For Paul, his equation was simply Jesus plus nothing equals favor with God. Jesus plus nothing equals favor with God. It's only by putting your faith in Jesus. You see, that's the gospel. That's the good news that Paul's been preaching in Antioch and everywhere else. The gospel is God loves you. God died for you so you could be forgiven. And there is nothing you have to do. You just have to receive this free gift of salvation through faith. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And so for Paul, by them adding something, by them saying it's faith plus, the plus factor for Paul, that wasn't just a misguided message. That was actually going against the whole gospel. That was the opposite to the gospel. In fact, it was no gospel at all. Because if you add something to grace, it's no longer grace. If you add something, it's no longer nothing. And so this is what Paul is going on about. And this circumcision became like, it became like a litmus test. Yeah. It was like a litmus test to see if you believed it was Jesus plus the works of the law, or if your equation was Jesus plus nothing. So if you wanted to know what someone believed, which position they had, you would ask them, what's your position on circumcision? What's your position on circumcision? Then you would know what equation they were working with. And so circumcision became the big deal. It became the litmus test to see if you were, which side you were on. And it became a very divisive issue. And so Paul is very concerned about the unity of the church. And so Paul decides that he's going to go to Jerusalem to meet up with Peter, James, and John, the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. These are the biggest leaders in the church. You can't get higher than these guys. I mean, Peter and John were two of Jesus' closest friends while he was on earth. And James is Jesus' brother. It's his half-brother who is now the leader of the church in Jerusalem. So these are like the biggest leaders in the church. And so he decides he's going to go to Jerusalem and sort out this issue. And we read in verses 1 to 2, he says, then after 14 years, that's 14 years after his conversion, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was Paul's mentor, later became Paul's co-worker. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation, so he's been guided by the Holy Spirit. And meeting private with those esteemed as leaders, that's Peter, James, and John, I presented to them the gospel that I had preached among the Gentiles. So Paul goes to Jerusalem, and he goes and he meets up with Peter, James, and John, and he says, this is the gospel I've been preaching. Jesus plus nothing equals favor with God. What do you guys think? But more than that, Paul drags poor Titus along with him as kind of like a test case. You see, Titus was from Antioch, and he had put his faith in Jesus. But Titus was a Greek. That means he wasn't Jewish. That means he wasn't circumcised. Now, Titus must have been a brave guy, because Paul comes up to him and says, look, Titus, there's a bunch of guys who are claiming that you need to be circumcised in order to be a proper Christian, to be really saved. So I'm going to Jerusalem to sort out this issue, and I would like you to come along with me so you can show everyone that you can be a proper Christian even though you're not circumcised. Titus must have been, what? Right? You want me to do what? I mean, Titus got a lot riding on that. This isn't just an abstract theological debate for Titus. I mean, there are some serious practical implications for Titus on the way this decision goes. But then we read in verse 3, yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. So Peter, James, and John didn't insist that Titus needed to be circumcised. You see, it's faith in Jesus plus nothing that leads to favor with God and acceptance with God. And they were in a complete agreement. Now, Titus was a great example, for these false brothers. Now, the false brothers were claiming that, well, look, you need to be circumcised in order to be a proper Christian, to be really saved. Was Titus circumcised? No. Was Titus a proper Christian? Was he really saved? Well, Paul thought so. Peter, John, and James thought so. And even more so, he's got a book in the Bible named after him, right? I mean, just a general rule. But if you get a book in the Bible named after you, odds are you're a proper Christian. Right? Okay, so he's a great example to show to these guys that you don't need anything else. You don't need to be circumcised. You don't need anything else. You just need faith in Jesus plus nothing to find favor with God. Now, we read in verse 6. It says, they added nothing to my message. That's a key verse. Peter, James, and John added nothing to my message. They didn't say, Paul, look, you're completely right. It's just faith in Jesus. But could you just add circumcision? Could you just add you need to do the works of the law? Could you just add that you need to be Jewish? No, they added nothing to the message of Paul. They were in complete agreement that Jesus plus nothing equals favor with God. Now, you're probably thinking, well, this is very interesting, but what has this got to do with us today? I mean, there is no one trying to get us or insisting that you need to be circumcised. So what has this got to do with us today? Well, even today, there are many people within the church that add things to Jesus. They have a Jesus plus something that leads to favor to God. Yes, it's just faith in Jesus, but you just need to add baptism. Oh, it's faith in Jesus. Plus, you really should be able to speak in tongues or prophesy. Oh, it's faith in Jesus, but you do have to read your Bible every day at 6 a.m. And they add rules. It's Jesus plus you can't shop on a Sunday. It's Jesus, but you have to be heterosexual. Oh, it's Jesus, but you can't smoke. Where does it say that in the Bible? Well, I don't know, but it really should. Oh, it's Jesus plus you can't drink alcohol. But Jesus drank. Oh, well, there's always been a bit of an embarrassment to us proper Christians. And they add all these rules, Jesus plus. And the problem with that, when you have a Jesus plus equation, is that firstly, it makes you slaves. Verse 4 says, this matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Jesus Christ and to make us slaves. You see, there's freedom in Jesus. Jesus has fulfilled all of the Old Testament laws. He has set us free from all of the Old Testament laws. We don't have to obey the Old Testament laws in order to have God love us and accept us. Right? There's freedom. But there are always some sad individuals, like these false brothers, who try to make everyone else's life as sad as theirs. And they spy on you. They're like these self-imposed police. Are you shopping on a Sunday? Is that non-alcoholic wine or alcoholic wine? Is that non-Christian music you're listening to? Oh, you're going to that party? Do you think you? They spy on you. They're like these self-imposed police, and they try to enslave you to all their rules. And a lot of their rules aren't even from the Bible. But there's freedom in Jesus. He set us free from that. Because it's Jesus plus nothing equals favor with God. Now, of course, we all know that. We will say that in our heads, we will say, of course, we're accepted by God through faith in Jesus plus nothing else. But our heart sometimes says plus something. Our heart sometimes says that, well, it's Jesus plus financial security. Jesus plus approval of my parents. Jesus plus my children are happy. Jesus plus approval of my peer group. And when we try and make it Jesus plus something, that's something else. We have something else that helps to get us accepted by God and find inner fulfillment. If we have a something else, a Jesus plus something, that something else will become our slave master. We'll become a slave to that slave master, and he or she will strangle you and suck all the life out of you. Why? Because you desperately need it. You have to have it. Because that's where you're finding your identity in. And you become a slave to it. And when you don't have it, I mean, let's take an example. Say it's Jesus plus approval from our peers. And then you desperately need a peer approval all the time. You're desperately seeking peer approval. And when you can't find peer approval, you're gone. You've just had it. Because you're a slave to it. You don't experience freedom in Jesus. Secondly, when we have a Jesus plus something equation, we'll be alienated from Jesus. It's interesting, Paul calls these guys false brothers. See, they thought they were followers of Jesus, but they weren't. They thought they were in a relationship with God, but they weren't. And they probably started in a relationship with God, but then it slowly became more and more all about the rules, all about their religious rules. It slowly became about all the things they were doing. And they were probably doing a lot of good stuff. They were probably very religious, doing a lot of good stuff. But as they were doing all this, they probably sensed that they lost connection with God. They lost connection with God. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, you who are trying to be justified by the law, that's people who are having a faith plus something equation, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Why? Because it becomes all about the rules, all about following rules and doing stuff rather than being in a relationship. I can remember so many times in my life where I've slipped unknowingly into a Jesus plus something equation. And that something has been witnessing to others, reading my Bible regularly, being more righteous and sin-free. And as soon as that's become part of the equation, I started thinking, well, you know, if I'm not reading my Bible every day, if I'm not witnessing every day, if I'm not becoming more and more holy, well, then God's not going to be that pleased with me. Possibly even angry. And so I become a slave to that. And so then because I'm a slave, now I have to do it. I have to do it to earn God's approval and God to make God pleased. So I have to do it. And because I have to do it, I no longer enjoy it. It sucks the life out of me. It sucks all the excitement and the vitality out of me. And as a result of that, very ironically, all the things I'm doing for God to make me closer to God are actually separating me from God, isolating me from God. Because it's become all about the rules and not about the relationship. As soon as you realize that, and you come back into that relationship, it sets you free from all these legalistic rules. You find freedom and vitality in a relationship with Jesus. And then very ironically, because of that relationship with Jesus, you get filled with excitement and vitality that you want to witness to people, you want to read your Bible, and you want to become more like Jesus. Thirdly, if you have a Jesus plus something equation, it will destroy our witness. Paul writes in verse 2, I wanted to be sure I was not running or had been running the race in vain. Now, Paul is not having personal doubts about his gospel. He's not suddenly thinking, oh, what if my gospel's wrong? No. Paul is absolutely certain that Jesus has revealed the gospel to him, that the gospel is right, the gospel is correct. Rather, he is genuinely concerned that if the apostles at Jerusalem get the decision wrong, it will destroy his ministry to the non-Jews. It will destroy the faith of the non-Jews. You see, all the non-Jews would reject the gospel, not because they're rejecting Jesus, but because they don't want to be Jewish. They don't like the Jewish customs. How many people have rejected Christianity? Not because they're rejecting Jesus, but they're rejecting the legalism, all the religious rules, and all the judgmentalism that they've seen in certain Christians and certain churches. People have turned away from Jesus, not because they're rejecting Jesus, but because they're rejecting our religious culture. You see, we often have the equation Jesus plus my culture equals favor with God. Of course, we won't articulate it like that. We'll say, oh no, you're saved just by grace through faith. But if you want to be a proper Christian, if you want to be really saved, then you've got to act like me, dress like me, look like me, think like me, like the music I like, be as punctual as I am punctual. Jesus plus my culture. This was certainly the case for the early missionaries in South Africa. I can remember reading these very old newspaper clippings in a museum in King Williamstown. That was the town I was born in. Reading these articles, and they had missionaries, Christian missionaries were gloating, not how natives had come to faith, but how they had converted them to wearing Christian clothes. and following Christian customs and manners. What they meant by Christian was nothing more than Western European culture. And they were hindering the gospel. They prevented a whole new ethnic expression of Christianity from developing and emerging. And they put many people off becoming a Christian. They destroyed the witness. And we do the same. Oh, you're saved by faith, but you just got to act like me, dress like me, think like me, like the music I like, do the things I do. You just need to embrace my culture, and then you're saved. By grace, of course. And we destroy the witness. What we discover in Galatians is that the gospel transcends culture. It transcends the Jewish culture, it transcends the Greek culture, and it transcends our culture. A Greek doesn't have to become Jewish first. They can become a Greek Christian. An African doesn't have to become European first. They can be an African Christian. A person in the youth culture doesn't have to embrace a 1950s culture first. It can become a Christian youth culture. Because the church is a multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-generational community made of people of all different ethnic groups and cultures and nationalities and generations, all coming together and finding favor in God because of faith in Jesus plus nothing. And therefore, we must never add anything to the gospel or we will destroy the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that it is because of faith in Jesus plus nothing that we find favor with you, that we find acceptance in you. And Father, our mind boggles at times that is the case, that you paid the price, you paid the price in full. There's absolutely nothing we need to do nor can do to earn your love and acceptance and forgiveness. And Father, forgive us so often when we slip back into a Jesus plus something else equation. Please forgive us. Father, we confess we do it because it happens so easy. Father, help us always to keep the gospel pure and to be welcoming of all people of all cultures and to be people that are just full of grace and love and acceptance. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about Abergavenny Baptist Church, please visit our website at abergavennybaptist.co.uk.